Tonight is John. Surprise, surprise. Means we're in a series on John's Gospel. And we're at John chapter 10, and we're looking at verses 1 to 10. Which, if you're following on the Church Bibles, is page 107. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them. They did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Matt, would you be right to turn me down a little bit? I feel quite loud. So this evening is in fact my last time preaching in St. Mary's. Believe it or not, it's come around really quickly. 3 years has gone just like that. This side of it, okay. Yeah, that'll be my Sunday off. I'll come back and preach. So I thought this evening I would do things a little bit differently. So I'm going to kind of use an approach to the text, which is how I always approach the Bible, and actually how I approach lots of different things in life. So I'm going to just use a basic thing of two questions. If I click. There's a little cartoon about the passage. Nothing relevant, it's just quite funny. It says, "Are you going somewhere? Yeah, Jesus is the gate, and I'm ready to board at gate JC. I don't think you're allowed carry-ons." It's not that good. So we're going to look at use this path thing of what is God saying? And then the next one, as if by magic, is what am I going to do about it? So whenever I approach the Bible, I always ask these two questions. What is God saying? And what am I going to do about it? And I always use this in my everyday life as well. If something comes across that I'm quite struck by or something's changed, I always ask the question, what is God saying to me through this situation, through this thing I've read, through this thing I've done? And then what am I going to do about it when I've heard God speak? So I thought that we would have a little go at doing that together this evening. So I'm going to go through the first bit of what is God saying to us. I'm going to try and open up this passage together, and then we're all going to do the what am I going to do about it bit. So we're going to be quite interactive this evening, and I'm going to get you to do quite a lot of the work. So be ready. So I thought, before we begin though, I'm just going to play a little video which goes back to just retell this story in a way that I find really helpful. And just another way of telling it. I'm quite a visual person. As I said, I have dyslexia, so I don't always find reading the text that helpful. So this is another little way we can read this Bible story. Somewhere. There's a video. There we go.
One who climbs the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate is a thief and a robber. The shepherd, on the other hand, walks right up to the gate and the gatekeeper opens the gate to him. And since the sheep recognize his voice, they carefully listen for it. And so he calls them by name and leads them out to where life is good. Though darkness looms, all is at peace. They can truly rest in his care. They'd sooner scatter than follow a stranger's voice. But beware, the thief lays in wait to steal, kill, and destroy. But in the Good Shepherd, and in the Shepherd alone, is full, everlasting life.
So this evening we pick up right where we left off last week. Sometimes the chapters in the Bible aren't always that helpful at helping us to get the story of where we're at. So if you ignore the big chapter 10, and we're actually still in the same story, still in the same passage. Jesus has just healed the man born blind, and then this man was taken to the Pharisees. They questioned him. They ridiculed him. They did not believe what he was saying about Jesus. And the Pharisees threw him out of the synagogue. And Jesus hears about this and he goes back and confronts the Pharisees about what they've done. And it is here that we pick up this story at chapter 10. Now this story, we could call it a parable. We could call it a proverb. We could call it a saying. In verse 6, it calls it a figure of speech. And this is something that has been spoken directly to the Pharisees. And it's important that we remember this as we look at this passage that is being spoken to the Pharisees. Jesus here is using an illustration of shepherds and sheep, one that we see throughout Scripture. And it's in a way that people of the time would really understand. It's a thing that would be everyday to them. But I'm guessing that for us, that we today are not that familiar with first century Palestinian farming practices. And if you are, you've got way too much time on your hands. So I thought we would just explain a little bit more about that, just to be able to set the scene for us a bit. And we're just going to need to actually retranslate a little bit of this. The NRSV is great, but sometimes it's not as good as reading the Greek text. John, my Greek buddy. And I apologise if I pronounce anything wrong as well. Last time I preached, John picked up on all of my bad pronunciation because I actually learnt Greek from someone who's Korean. So whenever I try and say anything, it has a slight Korean twang to it, which is not always that understandable to everybody else who learns. So Jesus is telling the Pharisees a story about a farming practice of a small Jewish village. Most of the families in the village would have kept sheep. Now, in verse 1, the NRSV describes the place where the sheep was kept as a sheep fold. And this is where we need to do a little bit of retranslation. The actual word for it, which I'm not going to pronounce, is actually better thought of as a small walled courtyard. It would have been attached to the house and part of the family dwelling. But a normal family wouldn't have had enough sheep to warrant a full-time shepherd. It was only a small courtyard. So different families would come together, and one of the sons, or maybe two daughters. It's interesting, when I was reading, it said one son or two daughters. It wasn't two sons, one daughter, which tells you a little bit about the time. Or if they couldn't have any of their children do it, it'd be a hired hand that would be charged for caring for all the sheep in the village. Now, the sheep would get to know this person, and they would become familiar with them, and they would learn to recognize their voice, as it says. The shepherds would go between the courtyards. They would meet the doorkeeper. They'd be recognized by him. And they'd let them into the pen to take the sheep and to take them out to pasture. And notice it says in the passage that the sheep follow. The shepherd doesn't have a sheepdog. It doesn't have a 4x4 quad bike thing that they round the sheep up with. The sheep simply follow him because they know his voice. So what was Jesus trying to say through this bizarre story about sheep? Here, again, Jesus is calling himself the shepherd. The blind man recognized the one who was calling him. He followed and he worshipped. But the thieves and the bandits, that's the Pharisees in this case, try to come and steal that man away and try to make him deny the work of Christ. See, Jesus is pretty damning of the Pharisees. It's probably not the nicest thing to call a religious leader a thief or a bandit. It's actually a pretty harsh insult, I think. But by this point in the story, this shouldn't be any surprise to us. If we turn to chapter 8, it's verse 44. It says, "You," he's speaking to the Pharisees, "you are from your father's father, the devil, and you choose to do your father's desires." He's called the Pharisees sons of Satan. He's been really harsh to them already. So to call them a thief or a bandit really isn't actually as much of a big deal as to say that you are working for the enemy. So Jesus tries to get them to see that they are not following the will of God here. And he says in verse 6 that they still do not understand what Jesus is saying to them. They still haven't got the fact that they are not following the will of God and that they are following the work of Satan. So in verse 7, Jesus puts it another way. Now, the setting has moved on a little bit. We are now in the open countryside. We're no longer in this village. The shepherd has taken the sheep out to pasture. And Jesus continues his analogy of being the shepherd. Now, the pens that he talks about in verse 7, where he talks about the gate. In actual fact, the gate is not the correct translation of the word. The Greek word is thura, or thyra, depending on your translation, depending on whether you learnt Korean Greek or English Greek. And that word always is translated as door. It's a minor thing, but it's really helpful sometimes when we can think further things about these stories to understand the Greek properly. So Jesus is calling himself the door. He's calling himself the door to these little pens, the pens where they keep the sheep in at night to keep them safe. And he's calling himself the door because he's the shepherd. You see, the shepherd within those pens would literally be the door. They didn't actually have a gate. They didn't have a door on them. They were quite makeshift. And the shepherd would lie across the pens and keep the sheep safe. Keep the sheep safe, tongue twister. He would lie across there at night and guard them. And in the day, he'd stand there, not let anybody or any animal in. See, we often, just as an aside, we often think of shepherds being quite soft and looking after the little lambs and bottle feeding lambs today. And they weren't at all. They're hard, hard men. They would fight off wild animals. They'd fight off lions and wolves. They're really, really powerful people. They are strong and they would defend their flock. So Jesus is the one lying in front of the pen. He's the one granted access to the sheepfold. Don't worry about it, it's fine. Somebody obviously wanted to listen in, didn't they? So Jesus is the one guarding the entrance. Jesus is the door to the eternal life with the Father. Jesus is the guard and the door of the sheep pen. So again, what is God saying here? And the first thing I want us to draw out this evening, the first thing I feel God is saying here, is that Jesus, by saying this, is revealing himself. He is showing who he is and what he will do. Jesus is revealing again what he's already said multiple times throughout John's gospel up to this point, that he is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the door to eternal life. The Pharisees just didn't get it at all. They thought the door to the Father was the law, following laws, rules religiously. But they didn't realize what they were actually doing was climbing over the wall. They were the thieves and the bandits, coming to destroy what the Father was doing, working for their father, Satan. They couldn't see that Jesus was the door. In their pride and their arrogance, they missed the way to the Father. If we miss Jesus as the door, we walk in that pride and arrogance. We walk in false hopes, just like they did. Jesus is the door to eternal life, the only door to eternal life. Christ, the door, is hope. Christ, as the door, is righteousness. Christ, the door, is freedom. Christ, the door, is the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the door, the only way for us to have a relationship with the creator and maker of the universe, our Father in heaven. No other person, no other thing, no other idol, no other God will give you access to the Father. Only Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through him. Again, what is Jesus revealing? He's revealing what takes place 10 chapters later, when he comes to lay down his life upon the cross, bearing our sin and our shame, to open up the door to the Father. Jesus is the door. Do we recognize that door this evening? Are there times when we try to get to the Father another way? Do we climb over the rules, over the walls, rather than coming through the door? So my first point this evening is that God is revealing Jesus as the door, the way to the Father. And the second thing I think God is saying to us this evening is that Jesus invites us to come in. If there's a door, we're invited to come through it. Jesus says in verse 9, "If you enter by me, you will be saved, and you will come in and go out and find pasture." And it continues in verse 10, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." It is so clear that the Pharisees did not accept the invitation of Christ. It's quite clear they didn't have this abundant life that Christ speaks of. If we think a bit about the story of the blind man again for a second, Jesus gives him abundant life through the healing his sight. But the Pharisees could not accept that. They couldn't see this abundant life. They don't accept Jesus' invitation to abundant life. So what got in the way of accepting this invitation? It was their own blindness. Joe spoke a little bit about that last week. It was their pride and their arrogance. But what is it for us? What do we have that might be stopping us accepting Jesus' abundant, his invitation to abundant life? Maybe for some of us it is the same thing. Maybe it is pride or arrogance. Maybe it's our self-reliance. Do we put all of our trust in God? Or do we put our trust in ourselves? Do we try and provide for our own needs our own way? Or do we follow what God is calling us to do? Is our money a stumbling block? Is it stopping us walking through the door? See, Jesus says here in verse 9 that whoever enters through the door, he says, will come in, will go out, and will find pasture. He says that God will provide for you. If you go through this door, you do not have to worry because God will bring you into the pasture. See, the metaphor is just a sheep coming to eat. That's why they went into the pasture, was to feed. God will provide for you. I've learned that quite clearly, and really, that's something that's really struck me in these last 3 years, being a student and having a family. We've never gone without. There's been times where I've kind of wondered how the bank account has added up. Sometimes I'm like, how the hell has money appeared in our account, or how has God provided in this way? But we've never gone without. I've had to learn to walk through the door and trust Jesus completely. I've had to learn to accept Christ's invitation just to go and follow him, regardless of what I feel, lose my pride and lose my arrogance and walk through. And we've always come to the pasture. God has always provided to us. And often he's given us more. We've lived abundantly. I find it quite odd that as a student, I have more money now than I did in my last job. So by taking this step of faith and actually kind of giving up earning, I live more abundantly. Now, it's not a call to God giving us a gospel of prosperity, but I'm saying actually part of us walking in this life, walking in the kingdom now, is abundant life, is a practical abundant life that God gives us. Do we need to recognize to walk through a different door this evening? Is there something that we need to give up? Something that we need to stop that's dragging us back, that's stopping us walking through this door? As I draw this together, I just want to give a little word of caution. This message and this story isn't just for the unbeliever. It isn't just for the Pharisee that doesn't believe. If you are sitting here and thinking, well, I've actually walked through the door, and I've completely accepted Jesus in every part of my life, well, then this passage should lead us to praise, to adoration, and to rejoicing at the works that God has done. But I also want to ask you that if you're thinking that you've done this and you've walked through the door, are you seeing God's abundance in every part of your life? Is there little bits maybe that have been held back that you've not allowed to walk through the door with you? We won't fully see all this abundance till Christ comes again in glory, till we are in glory with Christ. But we do see this abundance now. The kingdom of heaven is drawing near. Just to coin that phrase from Trinity College, we're called to live like the kingdom is near. God is drawing his kingdom to earth. So what then is God saying to us? So this is a summary for this evening. God is revealing Jesus to us as the door, the only way to the Father, the only way to eternal life. And he is inviting us to step through and to meet him and be with him. Just as a way to finish this, what is God saying to us? But I've just got another little video, just as a summary to us for us to watch together.
Claims that I am the door. I am the entryway. I am the access. Therefore, anybody else who claims to have any type of sanction to give, to speak on religious things, is a thief and a robber. But Muhammad says good things, he's a thief and a robber. What about Buddha? Well, he's a thief and a robber. Well, all religions, we do a lot of good things, and we all say the same thing. So they're thieves and they're robbers. I am the only individual that has true access to the sheep. Anyone else is a thief and a robber. So we may live in a time where spirituality may be big and may be high, but there's a difference between being spiritual and being Christian. So all of this relativism, all of this nonsense about coexisting, and it lies in the face of who I say that I am. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. We can't put me in any other category. He gives us the ability to be secure. He says, if anyone comes through the narrow gate, the narrow door, if anyone comes through me, they will be saved. Jesus gives us the ability to overcome our sin because he gives us the ability to find security in him. There's this security, there's this agape love. It's not the type of love that you and I have for one another. There's this unconditional love. There's this love that says that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, that he never loses any of his sheep, and that he desires for us to have relationship. But the problem is that we seek after guidance, we seek after affirmation, we seek after permission. But the problem, we don't seek after him. And this is why he says, I am the door. Therefore, I am the only true life. True life doesn't come in by following the words of the thieves and the robbers who try to steal, kill, and destroy, who may give you the temporal pleasure but won't satisfy the deepest need. Only Christ will do that.
So what are we going to do about it? So I'm going to give us 5 minutes or so around our tables. I just want you to discuss what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do from the reading of this passage? Are you going to, is there something you feel that this passage prompts us to do? Is there something that you feel personally prompted to do? And then I'm going to draw us back together and we can share, and then we're going to just spend some time praying together. So we've got 5 minutes or so, and there's going to be some music on. And feel free to grab another cup of tea or coffee. There's loads of cake, so go and help yourself to some more cake. And I'll draw us back in around about 5 minutes. That been enough time? Yeah. So what are we gonna do about it? Would anyone like to share? John, I thought you would. You've always got something good to say.
Yeah. Well, I think it's relevant. Yes, I've just been challenged. I think it's I think this is a really practical application. It's easy enough, I think, to look at the Pharisees and see what a silly lot they were, interested in their own thing, doing their own thing, being comfortable with it. But I think there's a warning there for us that we could well be sitting in that situation thinking, I'm happy, you know, I'm labelled as an evangelical Christian, I go to church, you know, tithe, do this, work down the wild goose, speak to people, read my Bible. But, you know, perhaps that is all being done mechanically without actually being moved by God's Spirit to actually love the people who the Lord wants me to go and work with. So I think there's a warning in looking at the Pharisees to be open to the Lord, to see, you know, what do I need to change in my life, and to be more obedient and to put aside the things that make me feel safe and secure.
Amen.
great. Does anybody else want to share anything?
Got a bit of a cold, actually, so I'm not sure how this is going to sound. Excuse my snivelling. I think I've...
Almost going to be a fire. There we go. Oh. Averted.
I'm sorry, we nearly had a fire on our hands. I've had a really tough few years, really. I've been in a place of amazing, being on fire, passionate for God, and stepping out and just really trusting Him, to a few disasters along the way, and sort of trying to recover from that. I've just sort of had quite a struggle really the last few years, and I just needed some sort of restart button really, because I could see myself going further and further away from God. And so I've just started the, what's it called, Living in Christ course with Harmut and his wife. And I think the restart button has been pushed. So I'm really pleased about that. And I managed to get into my Bible this week, which is really good. So I really strongly recommend that course. We're only at the start of it. But so I'm hoping that I will get back on track, because I need some spiritual revival, really.
Thank you. Yeah, getting to see Jesus as the door is probably the best way to do that, is to read God's word, is to spend time with other believers. Exactly that, the Living in Christ course, excellent way to get to know Jesus as the door. So we get to see more of who Jesus is. It's great. Did you want to? No, you're just taking the mic. Does anybody else want to share anything?
Just personally for me, whenever I sort of read anywhere where it says the thief, I always think about the thief being like Satan trying to steal the word of God from you, the truth, you know, of who you are in Christ and what God is, who God is, and particularly, you know, I got a busy week ahead, and just remember when we were reading the passage, I'd really felt comforted by the fact that Jesus, my shepherd, leading me and guiding me through what could be quite a difficult week, and just helping me to manage the things I've got to do, and just that thought of the thief trying to steal away my joy, and also the truth of what God has said, you know, about trusting in Him, and He's the shepherd, and the battle belongs to Him, and stuff. So, yeah, so that we were sharing about things like that.
We've been doing something quite similar to the Living in Christ course at college called, is it Freedom in Christ? Or? Freedom in Christ. Oh, yeah, so they've been doing Freedom in Christ. We've been doing the Living Free course, and in that there's... part of the way of praying they teach is to recognize, is to repent, and then realign and replace. And that's kind of, I felt that what you were saying, actually, sometimes we need to realign our thinking and to replace those bad thoughts and the things and the lies of the enemy, the things that have been stolen. We need to replace them with God's truth, realign our thinking into God's truth. So that's brilliant. Thank you. Does anybody else want to share anything that's lost? Chance. Okay. I'm gonna pass you that, that's easier. Thank you. So I've thought of two things actually that I think for me that are the things that I'm gonna do about it. And I thought actually that they are relevant to all of us. And the first one is exactly actually what John said. I think often, even though we don't always recognise it, there are always things that we can repent of. Things that are stopping us fully going through that door with Christ, fully coming into His presence. We tend to get quite complacent often. As Christians, we kind of feel, oh yeah, everything's going really good. I know the abundance of God. And then you kind of just start thinking, getting a bit complacent, and you don't really push in anymore. You don't keep trying to get to know that, go through the door further. You don't kind of keep longing after knowing Christ more. or maybe there's sins that creep in the way, things that you thought are dealt with, and then they slowly start to creep back. So the first thing I think we can do this evening together is that we can actually just come before God and repent. We can say sorry to God for those things that we're doing that are stopping us really fully walking through that door, fully meeting him, and fully accepting Christ's invitation. So we'll do that in a minute. The second thing, just before we pray together, that I want to say is that when we've walked through this door and we're rejoicing at the abundant life that God has given us, that should never stay silent. If we really do meet with Christ and we really know his abundance, you ain't going to keep quiet about it. We're going to go and we're going to tell everybody that we meet how good God is. So my prayer for us as well this evening is going to be that God would reveal people to us that he wants us to journey with, to show what Christ has done, to show the abundant life that he has given us, and help draw alongside them and help them walk to that door. So we're going to pray first for this thing of repentance. And then I'm just going to leave some silence after that, and we'll pray that God will just draw one person maybe to mind of who he wants us to pray for. And then I'll just lead us in some time of prayer after that for that. So let's just still ourselves before God. Maybe it might be helpful if you want to close your eyes. Maybe you want to just kind of do something with your body just to say, I'm available to you, God. It might be that you want to kneel. It might be that you want to stand, maybe you want to put your hands out.